sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Please, please. All rude boy, listen up, please. And rude guys, please, settle down. Here's what the West and the East have in common. Both have black cops in cars profiling. Hardcore kids in the West got stress. In the East, we are chased by the same black beast. The black cop is the only real obstacle. Black slave turned black cop is not logical, but very psychological. Haven't you heard? It's the black cop killing black kids in Johannesburg. What's up, black cop? Yo, what's up? Your authorization says shoot your nation. You want to uphold the law? What can you do to me? The same law dissed the whole black community. You can't play both sides of the fence. 1993 and 2023, mad kids are getting tense. Welcome, bienvenue, to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web, aka Monsieur Grandpapa B pour toutes les francophones dans l'audience. Before I continue with today's show, I want to remind you returning listeners that this podcast is still protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. 1804. Excuse me. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on, February 5th, 2023 at 1:46 p.m. Eastern Time. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. And this podcast ain't for you. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's start the show. Okay, that's going to be every time I go into a new section of my rundown sheet, you will hear this sound. All right. Okay. Today, okay, let's struggle. Let's go. Let's go with, we start with, like we usually do, I go by random thoughts. Just, you know, shit in the news or whatever, random unorganized thoughts. And then I end with some more personal thoughts, right? That's how this entire show is broken into. So let's start. Random thoughts, all right? So real quick, the title, the poetry that I just read was from the great poet, KRS-One. Boogie Down Production will always get it. And yeah, I guess I played it once. It was in reference to, because it's still relevant. It's in reference to how I still haven't gotten around or still haven't convinced myself, or I don't think I will be able to convince myself to watch the video of the death of Tyre Nichols. But I have been hearing a lot about it. I have heard about it, and, you know, it's as gruesome as people say it is, or, you know, or some people who realize that, oh, shit, I've been desensitized to violence, and, yeah, no, I'm used to this. But it just has me thinking about. Okay, again, random thoughts. I'm just trying to, you know, not linger too much on thoughts here. But I just want to say two quick things. One, it kills me that black cops being as or even more violent than white cops is like something the black community has always known. Like this video is kind of you for white people, you to the racism shit. You know, to the I don't see race white people, to them it's like, what the fuck? Holy shit. He's beating that black guy up, you know, and I guess some of them are using it to justify that. Well, I guess if you niggers don't like each other, then I guess why should we? But my point is, it's something that we've always known, and how this violence, like the idea that even black folks can be infected with this disease called white supremacy is a shock to them. It's something we've always known, and I guess it's a big, like a lot of white people are like, this is like breaking news for them. This is like their mind is exploding to, what the fuck is, what am I looking at? And I bet still processing this shit. But really, the main point what I was trying to get to, is initially when I was looking for a title, I was going to go with something like Fuck the Police or FTP by X-Clan or something that says something mean about police officers. And it just hit me, right? Here I am complaining about how, yo, KRS-One did a track in 93 about black cops. Here I am complaining about this shit, and I'm realizing that even I haven't looked at the police, the problem of police brutality. Even I haven't changed my perspective on it. Like, it's always rinse and repeat. Cop gets busted. Cop gets recorded. Abusing their power. Murdering. Inflicting violence on a black person. Or any other, you know, or someone they could get away with. Inflicting violence on someone they can get away with it, abusing their power, essentially. And the reaction is always, we're angry, oh, fuck. And it's like it's I feel like it's as bad as the way the United States reacts to gun violence. Like, oh, shit, the same debate, the same argument, the same fucking trolls show up, the same, this is new to me, oh, my God. Or the same, Black Lives Matter, we need to do something. And there's always the circle. There's also like this problem, this one minute group of black folks who are like, yo, this, we got enough. We got to do something. And what is it? The definition of insanity is doing the same shit all over again. Doing the same shit and expecting different results. Yeah, I mean, slavery has made us insane. But okay, what I'm saying is, I'm trying to change the way I think of this problem. And I'm realizing that at this moment, unless you motherfuckers have an army, are able to take on the police, unless you're able to learn from the mistakes that the Black Panthers made, because the Black Panthers, they were willing to use violence and intimidation. Violence and intimidation. When I'm talking about the Black Panther, I'm talking about the ones in the 60s, like shortly after the death of Malcolm X, the one that was founded by Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale. I'm proud of myself that I remember his name. And I, they had that intention of, okay, well, since no one's taking police brutality seriously, then we're going to take it upon ourselves. And they would show up with an arrest with their guns. And their attention, I mean, it was scary, right? But, it, you know, like you want to freak out white people. It's like I'm trying to say, like, the intention was, look, we're out of options. So we're saying, hey, Mr. Police Officer, you don't do your job correctly. We're going to have to go to war. I'm saying, this is what I'm getting at, is I'm saying unless if building an army is not an option, then shit like police reform is our best solution on the table right now. Demanding police reform. And when I say police reform for me, speaking for myself, is the way we fucking look at policing. For me, I think the biggest problem in law enforcement is one, how, like, can we fix this shit? Like, the biggest problem is how, one, it attracts all the worst kind of human beings to become police officers. Now, I'm not saying all police officers, but I'm saying there are individuals in there who, like, your high school bully, your primary school bully, had no fucking option in their lives. Like, never learned that, you know, bullying is a wrong thing. Like, your high school bully probably, likely, enjoyed the first time he inflicted pain on someone else. And then is now a police officer. Never, like, got out of, why do I enjoy inflicting pain on people that I can, that are weaker than me. Like, they never got out of that mindset. That's what I mean. The worst kind of human beings are attracted into law enforcement. Fucking Derek Chauvin, you should read his story. He's one of those people. Sorry. my phone was vibrating. Yeah, the worst kind of people are attracted into law enforcement. And to make it worse, there doesn't seem to be any... Like, being a cop is apparently is you know, it's kind of stringent, I believe. I think in Ontario or Ottawa, whatever. I'm not sure. But let's pretend that it's not easy. Like, I know I can't be a cop. I'm such in bad fucking shape. Someone out there is saying, well, no. Just tell them you're black. You're okay. Yeah, I don't know about that. But they can't, what's the word, scan. They hire these fuckers, and they can't seem to, like, get rid of the so-called bad apples. Like, I want to address that. The fact that law enforcement attracts all the shitty, the worst kind of people who shouldn't be cops. And they're what's that word? Fielding? No, when you're their hiring process doesn't weed out the bad folks. There's a lot, like, I remember, look, you know what? Law enforcement is kind of like the church used to be. Might still be. Like, they have an image. Like, no one, when the Catholic Church was attracting pedophiles, and they had no systems to, like, weed them out, to feel them out, to filter them out, to be like, hey, no, we can't have you, Mr. Pedophile, representing the word of God. No, they didn't have any. It's like, it was like, it's like honeys. It was just an attraction. It's like, if you're a pedophile, the first thing, you know, and you wanted to be, to get away with being a pedophile, it's like, fuck, I'm going to be a preacher. I'm going to be a priest. They love me in there. They attract me. Yeah. And they get in there. They have their own little clique. And then they abuse with impunity. And then when they get called on it, and people are like, come on, a priest, a man of God touched you, little boy? Come on. You know, like they're working with that fucking image. That's what I mean by police reform. I know there are more, like, people who have thought this through way, like, smarter people than me who have better ideas than what I'm saying. But I'm, look, this is where I'm going with police reform, is I'm saying, look, I have a friend who told me that when he was a kid, he used to be bullied. He lived in Nigeria, right? And his story was, he used to get bullied as a child. And he knew he couldn't fight the bully. And yeah, he didn't have the means to, yeah, he was a skinny, I don't know if he was skinny, but he couldn't fight them. So he learned to outsmart these fucking guys. He became friends with all the girls they were trying to fuck. He got on their good side. And the only point I'm trying to get to this, and I'm not trying to say that, you know, we need to start, look at this, there's a bad joke in there, we need to start fucking the cops, we need to start fucking the girls that the cops are trying to fuck. No, what I'm saying is, look, if you're, I think this is an art of war principle, if you're going to fight an enemy, don't fight them where they can overpower you, fight them in a field where you have the advantage of them, and that's, for some of us, it's using our intelligence. Like, I guess this is what I'm trying to say, you can call me a pussy, and all that, but violence against the police is not going to work. At least not in my circle. I don't know anyone who's got that kind of capacity to fight against the police. So we got to be smart. We got to use intelligence. We got to use a system that's established for us at the moment. Like, I'm talking to you while I know my younger self would be criticizing me for being like, man, you're saying some sellout shit. And I'm saying, look, man, it's using our brain. I'm saying, look, police reform, if we can get politicians. Like, you motherfuckers out there who are like, I'm not into politics. That video of Tyre, I think you should watch that the video of the death of Tyre Nichols. And start asking questions. How could this, you know, what are the chances, you know, what if that was me? See, that's, I think that's one of the problems black people we have with police brutality is a lot of white people are looking, will watch the video of Tyre Nichols being beaten to death and tell myself, well, it's a good thing I'm not a nigger. You know, this is their problem. They'll look at it like we need white people. We need other people, especially folks in power, to look at these videos the same way we look at it and be like, oh, shit. If they can do that to him, what stops them from doing that to me? Right now, they're saying, well, you know, it can't happen to me because I'm not that person. Like, they demonize these people. I, you know what? I'm speaking longer than I wanted to on this point, but it's just, I'm just going to end it with, one, unless you can tell me otherwise, but police reform seems to be our best option. And when I say police reform, I'm talking about the way we look at policing. Because right now, a whole bunch of people see law enforcement as okay, you know, they're not perfect, but at least they're protecting me from them. The bad people. The scary people. The people the news keeps talking about. That fear. They're able to use that fear to be like, I don't give a fuck who you, you know, yeah, I don't give a fuck who you recruit. Actually, I remember being younger and thinking like, and watching like some video about, you know, these tough gangs that are out there. And I was like, well, fuck it. Looks like we need law enforcement to recruit more wolves. We need to recruit people who are badder, worse than the criminals out there in order to be protected from them. But that's the mentality that allows for shitty human beings to become law enforcement, to become a member of law enforcement, because they know that, hey, look, I'm the shit. I'm thinking of that line. I'm like the not the Night Watch. Is it the Night Watch? Game of Thrones. You know, exactly. We're over here being told about the wildlings, the people who are less than human, who are outside of our walls, and the only thing protecting us is law enforcement. When the truth is, the reality is, fuck it. The same bad people that you're trying to scare me, they're trying to scare me from, also have badges. That's what makes it even more fucking scary. That's the part that needs to be addressed. So I'm saying, yeah, man, fix that aspect. Like, why are these, like the fact that, what is it, 40%? Of law enforcement beat their wives? I mean, I don't know. Is that what happens? Like once you get a taste of violence, you become addicted to it. You feel the need to abuse it. It's, I mean, that's the conversation. Like, I want to have a conversation about police reform in a way that law enforcement can be down with. Because right now they're like all the shitty guys. They're like, hey man, don't let these outsiders tell us what we need to be. Now we need to get some of these law enforcement to be like, yo, I respect the badge. I'm trying to look. There's a lot of cops out there who are pissed off at the respect they're not getting from the public. And they feel the need to like, you know, well, fuck, you guys don't respect me. Then I need to put a foot up someone's ass until I get that respect. It doesn't work that way. You want respect, you got to earn it. Okay, sorry, I'm being a little bishop here. Yeah. Yeah, you know, in a way, I'm kind of defying random thoughts because random thoughts are supposed to be like 2 to 5 minutes per thought. And I'm going to stop myself because I keep forgetting. This is my fucking podcast. I make the rules. All right, okay. I just, that's where I was going with this title. Police reform, kids. Police reform, you know, if words like defunding the police scares you, then police reform. And what I mean is, change the way we look at policing, because right now, the way we look at policing is part of the problem. Yeah, I'll stop there. All right, I kind of fucked up. I told myself that I'm going to use this little timer tricky. I don't want to go over. shit. I hate when I do this. Okay, sorry. Where did I put it? Timer. That's not my timer. Oh, man. Hold on a second. I'm angry at myself because I made a little mistake. Black cop, black cop, black car. Oh, I'll be damned. Okay. Oh, shit. Stop. Timer. How do I set the there we go. 20 minutes. I should use the timer Toastmasters. You know why? Okay. All right. I already used up 10 minutes. All right. I want to be fair. I'm going to use another 10 minutes here. Okay. Yeah. It's not my fault I went over time. Okay. Oh, God damn it. Timer online counter. Woo. I have this thing where, I have this thing where I just realized this is probably the second episode that I do this, that I'm in my thoughts. I'm working on a computer and forgetting that there's an audience listening to me. And I apologize. I really mean to apologize. Okay, so this is what I'm doing right now, right? I am setting a timer for 10 minutes so that I can run through the rest of the shit that I have on my list. You know what? Okay, I'm going to cheat because it's my podcast. So I'm going to call it 15 minutes. All right, there we go. Because the personal thought might go into, personal thought is where I'm like, it's a free for all. Talk all the shit you want. Okay, so right. All right, let's go. Fuck it. Okay. Hey, what's up, audience? Okay, where was I? Okay, yes. All right. Poem check. The title, police reform. Yeah, okay. All right, okay. In other news, I know you guys probably heard about this balloon, the spy balloon from China. I was trying to say China like Donald Trump. Yeah, apparently there's some spy balloon from China, and China claims that, hey, it's a weather balloon that just, you know, the wind blew over your continent. Our bad, we fucked up. But and then some people are saying, nah, it's a spy balloon. What I don't get is, what's the big deal is, if China really wanted to spy on us, can't they just use our phone? I mean, I got TikTok running on this shit. I got, I guess the whole spy movies doesn't get me, considering, like, I go to all these websites and I'm hitting accept on all these terms and condition, and I think some of them involve being able to look at, to probe my ass. You know, for all I know it, I've agreed to someone like knocking on my door and say, hey, according to this term of agreement that you signed, we have the right to probe up your butt. I'm just saying, like, really, a balloon? That's kind of old school. A balloon that we all can see? I think it's, yeah, anyways, I'm not going to say, I'm just saying, if you're listening to this podcast in the future and trying to go back in time into 2003, February 5th, in North America, what everyone's talking about is a fucking balloon from China. Well, anyways, long story short, it got shut down. And that's it. Yeah, we're obsessed over a fucking balloon. I really got to stop watching the news. I think that's what's going to get at. It's what it comes down to. Next on my rundown sheet, no progress report for PN, for Precision Nutrition. Yeah, usually I talk about the progress that I made. But I got to be honest, man, this week I did not do shit with respect to Precision Nutrition. I can't lie to you and say I was too busy, but the truth is, I don't know, something went wrong. I mean, everything else the priority, and I just couldn't get the, something in me turned off when it came to Precision Nutrition. It's kind of like, I can't explain it, but no progress to report for this week. Another thing that happened this week, when I say this week, between the release of the last episode, what was it called? Shit, I lose track of Shut Up Podcast, of the titles of my 049, Most of My Heroes Don't Appear on No Stamps Month. Oh, yeah, because it was on February 1st. Anyway, between February 1st and February 5th, what's been going on? Beyonce announces Renaissance World Tour with at least one date in Toronto. Okay, I'm not going to read the article, but for me, the biggest part about this news is look, I'm a fan of Beyonce, but I'm not like a dedicated fan like Beyonce. Like, I love Beyonce, you know, homegirl, Mrs. How'd she say it? You could be the next black, you might be a black Bill Gates in the making, some shit like that. Basically, you might be a success story. And she's an inspiring woman. She's a great artist. I remember today is what the release of, yesterday was the release of the Control album by Janet Jackson. And I'm realizing that, oh shit, she's like taking the place of Janet. Okay, I'm going to get myself in trouble with the fans out there. I am not, you know, I'm not saying she's replacing Janet Jackson, but she's like the new excellence. She's like walking down the aisle, walking down the path of, we had Janet Jackson, she made dope ass album, now we got Beyonce. Yes, Janet Jackson is still, I don't believe, oh my God, I'm trying to explain myself like I got Janet Jackson fans looking at me all offended by what I just said, what I'm just saying. Look, understand what I'm trying to say, or if not, but anyway, we got Beyonce now, and where I was going with this is, I'm a fan, but I'm way more entertained by the diehard fans of Beyonce. Like, the memes that were posted in response to her Renaissance tour. And, yo, I heard a rumor. This is one of my favorite ones. I'm going to share the article where they go, it goes, Beyonce announces Renaissance tour, my bank account.
Insufficient funds. You ain't got no money. Woo.
Yeah, man. Look, I know that Beyonce show is going to be dope and amazing. Obi would have gone, but I have this thing lately. I don't know. I'm 48 and I feel anxiety around people. And I don't know if I'm ever going to get over that shit, but there was a time where I loved live performance. But I would have, Beyonce's going to be in Toronto on July 8th and 9th, from what I understand. The Blues Fest is going to be around that time, but I doubt it. Come on. Beyonce in fucking Ottawa? Holy shit. She comes to Ottawa. Come on, that's like, that would hurt her image. She comes to the Blues Fest, a whack-ass stage at the Blues Fest for some discount tour. Or she might just make like a like. You know, do a few of her songs, none of her dancers. Okay, all right, bye, Ottawa, go fuck yourself. She might do us like Busta Rhymes did to Ottawa. Homeboy showed up an hour late. They gave us a 15-minute performance. And what's fucked up is how that 15-minute was an amazing 15 minutes, but only made us angry. It's like I wanted $10 worth of crack. And he gave us $1 worth of it. It was still a good hit, but I wanted what I paid for it. Anyways. So I think I'm more entertained by the response. That, like, I get a part of me likes to see people happy. I just love the way Beyonce fans are reacting to this tour. Like, the memes are hilarious. Alright. Next on the rundown sheet. Okay. I'm not going to go through this article, but the title is, okay, let me explain. Okay, the title goes, fried chicken, ! Third largest egg farm catches fire, exacerbating shortages and prices. Now, this article, which I'm not even sure it's an article, I'm not sure, it might be satire, but it, hold on, let me explain myself. The link came from Silk. Or is it Diamond? Whoever's alive, the one who didn't die. That link was on their article. Now, let me explain myself. The reason why her, it's not that I'm following her for some fucking reason. Actually, I know the reason, but it's to annoy me and get a negative response out of me. But Twitter feels the need to post, show me shit on my timeline from people that I don't fuck with. Anyways, the only reason I bring up this article is because I remember clicking on the link. What made me laugh is fried chicken. So I'm like, whoa. And I'm like, this is an interesting title. The headline got my attention. But what's even funnier is when I clicked on the link, you know that initial post you get, the initial thing, alert you get when you get to a website, say, hey, can we annoy you with notifications? You know, yes or no. By the way, the good old days of the internet, we didn't have that shit. You kids are missing out. Yeah. So For this site, it's called Patriot Fetch. I should have known. I click on it and they say, hey, can we annoy you with notifications? And instead of saying yes or no, they say, yes, I'm a patriot. He goes, no, I'm a liberal. These guys. Everybody, yep. These right winger folks, they're exactly like churchgoers, man. They're like church people. They were just as well as saying yes because I love Jesus, or no because I'm a Satan worshiping liberal cuck, whatever the fuck, latte sipping, don't know my gender, fucking liberal punk ass, let my girl. But it's just a way, like, to keep you in the tribe, they got to diss you. No, it's not just keep you in the tribe, but put you in a situation where, you know, it's like, yo, fuck your right to choose. You want to be one of us? Then the answer is yes. And yes, too, you will donate to our cause. Yes, too, you will let me fuck your wife while you look. Yes, too, you will show up to church on a regular basis while I fuck your wife and you look. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. Anyway, I just thought that shit was entertaining. I'm not going to go through the article. I hate the fact that I clicked on them and now they can register my click as a, as ad space. You know what's funny is as I'm speaking to you is I did click on the link to the Beyonce concert. By the way, all these links are going to be in the show notes. I should mention, I don't know if I mentioned that, but they're in the show notes. But the title goes, Beyonce announces Renaissance World Tour with at least one date in Toronto. And I clicked on it and there's this picture of Beyonce on a horse. And it's not the fucking horse. It's her outfit that's just distracting me. I'm like, okay, I need to hit X because like, yeah. If I sound distracted, it's because of her outfits. Like, damn. All right. Okay, let's get more serious. Where am I on my time? 4 minutes. Fuck. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go over all my time on this one here. But and I'm going to be mad at myself. All right. Okay. Last piece of news. I'm going to talk about. Well, I labeled this under what Quebec is mad about, but I'll just read the headline. It goes, Trudeau, anti-Islamophobia czar, Amira El-Hawabi faces calls to resign. Okay? Now, before I speak about this article, because si tu viens de Quebec, I'm about to shit on your province, right? Just like I regularly do. And before I talk about this news, I am going to play this thing I found on this clip I found on TikTok worth sharing with the rest of y'all. And I labeled this title as not the average white person. Okay. All right. So here go. And I'll explain myself and I'll explain what I mean by the title. I guess I should give props to shout out to Jono Milano 8503 who stitched this video from Counterpoint Politics, John Cooper. Again, links in the show notes. You could go to them to say that, hey, Be Black, you found their video through Shut Up Podcast. But here we go. Here's the video. I said, here's the video. Sorry, it's on mute. One more time. Why? Hold on a second. Why aren't you playing? Oh my God. I don't know why it's muted at the moment. Oh, guys, so we're troubleshooting. Fuck. Hold on. Is my headphones on? Yeah. Mute. Bam, 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 bam. Okay, let me go. Sorry, let me. I apologize. This is the part where I would play some technical difficulty. So I'm going to use another app to play the video. Here we go. What am I doing wrong? Oh, I don't know what happened. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, kids, if you're going to play a video, make sure the mute button is not on. All right. It's likely a mute button. And for some reason, my Okay, my output was, you don't need to know all this troubleshooting, but here we go. So he's responding to the question, this white person, John Cooper, is responding to the question, does systematic racism exist?
Black people need to stop complaining about systemic racism and take some personal responsibility. Everyone is equal under the law now. They may be policed more, but that's only because they commit a disproportionate amount of the crime.
Why?
Well, I'm not saying that black people are naturally more likely to be criminals or anything. I just think it's a part of their culture.
Why?
Well, probably because their dads weren't around to raise them properly.
Why?
I don't know, probably because they were too poor to afford a kid, so they left.
Why?
Well, they probably can't get a good job because they never went to college.
Why?
Well, I guess it is probably because they couldn't afford it, but they didn't get good enough grades to get a scholarship either.
Why?
Well, I guess that is probably because their school is underfunded.
Why?
Because school funding is determined by property taxes and they were born into poor areas.
Why?
Because their family hasn't been able to build enough wealth to move out.
Why?
Because the first black people who were born with equal rights under the law are less than 60 years old. Black people need to...
There we go. All right, okay. And that's why I call this not your average white person. See, the way this video works is it's the same. It's John Cooper pretending to be the person asking the question, and he's also being the person asking the question, responding with why. Okay, to me, why I say he's not the average white person is because the average white person answers the question why with because they're simply inferior. They simply don't have their shit together. It's just, that's the simple answer. The unique white person, the rare white person, the minority white person group, white people group, they'll do that critical. They'll look up the question. They'll actually respond the way this gentleman answered all these questions. Like, they processed it. They looked up. They did the reading. Now, somewhere there's a white person. Actually, you know, that intro should have, like, gave you a sign, this podcast ain't for you. But somewhere there's a white person whose feelings are hurt by saying, how dare you say this is only a minority of white people who think that way. Sorry, I'm this is me saying, if it makes you feel better, black people there are black people who believe that. And you know why? You know why? White supremacy. I call it a disease. The brainwashing, the tarnish, the brain stain called white supremacy that affected a whole bunch of us. There are black people who also will join you and say, you know what? Yeah, there is no systematic racism. Black people are just complaining. Some of them are successful. Some of them will be like, you know, I can make it. Why the fuck can't the rest of you can't make it? We refer to them as coons. Not just coons, but Uncle Ruckus. All right, where am I going with this, right? Where am I going with all this? So, which finally brings me to the article that I wanted to end this segment, Random Thoughts, with is Trudeau's anti-Islamophobia czar, Amira L. Oh, my God, L. Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to read it out loud. And by read out loud, I'm going to let my little AI device read it for me. Because I don't trust my ability to read in English. Actually, I don't trust my ability to read in any language, but that's not the point. Here we go.
Trudeau anti-Islamophobia czar Amir El Gawabi faces calls to resign.
Oh my God. She said Trudeau anti-Islamophobia czar Amira El-Hawabi faces calls to resign. Okay, yeah. Maybe I should use a different voice, but here we go.
Trudeau anti-Islamophobia czar, Canada's first ever anti-Islamophobia czar, is facing calls to resign after an op-ed resurfaced in which she called Kubisers Islamophobic. In 2000...
I think I'm going to have to read it myself. Canada's first ever Islamophobia czar is facing calls to resign after an op-ed resurfaced in which she called Quebecers Islamophobic. You know what? Let me use a different voice. Let's see how this goes. Okay? Maybe this will be better.
Amara Al-Gawabi was appointed last week to the new position by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Keep going.
In 2019, she co-wrote an opinion piece attacking a Quebec law that banned public servants from wearing religious symbols, including hijabs.
Okay, I don't know if y'all heard this, but yeah, that pronunciation was terrible. Okay, in 2019, she co-wrote an opinion piece attacking a Quebec law that banned public servants from wearing religious symbols, including hijab. Last week, after her words resurfaced, she walked back her comments. Because of the pressure. Welcome to Canada. She said her article was meant to be criticism of the law, not Quebecers themselves. The op-ed, which she co-wrote in 2019 with a social activist for the Ottawa Citizen newspaper, read, "Unfortunately, the majority of Quebecers appear to be swayed not by the rule of law, but by anti-Muslim sentiment." I'm not going to read the tweet. The article will be in the show notes. It goes, on Wednesday, amid mounting criticism, Ms. Al-Gawabi apologized to Bloc Québécois. She should have. I'm sorry. She did what she did. Respect. I'm not the one with her job title. On Wednesday, amid mounting criticism, Ms. Al-Gawabi apologized to Bloc Québécois leader Yves-François Blanchet, who is the head of Quebec's federal separatist party. "I am convinced," in quotes, "I am convinced and I know and say it that Quebecers are not racist," Ms. Al-Gawabi said, according to the Montreal Gazette. "It was not my intention, and because of the injuries caused by my words, I sincerely apologize." Fuck. "But her apology did not immediately quell calls for her resignation." Of course not. C'est le Québec. On Thursday, Mr. Blanchet said Ms. Al-Gawabi was hostile to the values of Quebec and urged Mr. Trudeau to abolish the position entirely. Mr. Trudeau said he supports Ms. Al-Gawabi, you better, 100%, while adding that he did not agree with the op-ed Quebecers are not racist. Op-ed Quebec are not racist, he said. The Prime Minister has been a vocal critic to the bill, arguing it restricts people's freedom of expression and religion, but he said the federal government will not intervene right now in the court process. Bill 21, which came into law in Quebec in 2019, prevents judge, police officer, teachers, and public servants from wearing symbols such as kibba, turban, hijabs at work. The law is currently being challenged in courts. Ms. Al-Gawabi appointment comes amid growing concern about Islamophobia in Canada as a whole. I'm going to add, this is not in the article, right? Islamophobia in the whole. Quebec is also the province where a mass shooting occurred. You know where? In a mosque. Some fucking white kid, I forget his name. His name's not worth remembering. Some punk-ass white kid went in there and murdered, what was it, 9 people? But he murdered people in a mosque because of their religion. And his parents are out there pissed off. Our little kid is not racist. Sorry. My blood pressure is rising as I'm reading this article, as I'm reading this story. I should shout out the good people of Canada the Land because, I mean, Quebec doing racist shit is like hearing about, it's like watching another police brutality video. Quebec is like very fucking sensitive about their racism. So sensitive, like there's no hope for them to be cured from that shit. And I say this as someone who was born in that province. And I know very well, yeah, born in that province. And and I'm convinced, I used to say, I have this joke where I say, I'm convinced. Yeah, I was born in Montreal. 5 years and then moved to Ottawa. And I'm convinced that even at 48, I've heard the N-word more times in my 5 years there than I've heard it in the rest of my life. I'm not trying to say that English people are less racist than English people are less racist than Quebec. Quebec's racism is fucking potent. And it's what's even worse is these fucking crackers are fucking so in denial about that shit. It's so fucked up that I remember that, and this is where the first time I heard someone speaking French with a Quebec accent and was saying intelligent shit about race, my brain like nearly exploded because I was so not used to hearing someone from that part of the world speak intelligently about race. Not saying the shit, hey, on n'est pas raciste. Like that's the first go-to response by Quebecers. We are not racist. On n'est pas des racistes. While being racist. Like they'll defend their racism. Like they don't want to do that internal look. That like there's a disease over there. Like it's just not just the racism. It's the don't tell me shit about my racism. And if there is racism, which I'll never admit to, it's part of my fucking culture. You fucking English motherfucker, don't tell me how to process that. Like in Quebec, they're still debating whether the N-word is whether the N-word is offensive to black folks. Like they don't realize what they're saying is we want continue to tell black people how to feel about the N-word. It's okay. I'm angry because this just shit hits home. And I know that I work with a lot of like French Canadians and who would take offense to what I'm saying, but fuck it. This is like one of the hills I'm willing to die on. I'm speaking from my own experience. Fuck you, you French speaking cracker, trying to tell me, hey, there's no racism in the province of Quebec. You know why? Because the one black friend that I think I have told me there's no racism. And the rest of you, and they'll accuse us of, you're just trying to be like the Americans. You're just trying to bring the racism shit from the that's in America. You're just trying to bring it here. There's a, like, this denial of racism is the new racism. And that province is, like, filled with that denial. Like, that's, like, it's racism 2.0, the denial of it. I grew up with teachers who really thought that they had, like, they meant well. Like, they believe, okay, I should be careful. Because, yes, I was educated by Franco-Ontario teachers. But they also handled racism like every other French Canadian handles racism. Now, no, I'm not going to say not all French Canadian. Fuck you. What I am going to say is this is why I started with context to that not the average white person clip that I played. Because there are white people who get it. There are white people who can separate their whiteness and who can look at it from the level of a human being, who can separate their whiteness from their humanity. I'm going to repeat that. Separate their whiteness from their humanity. They see, they actually mean, it's not that they don't see race. It's like they see race and it's not a hindrance to them. It doesn't make them feel uncomfortable. Okay, look, I don't know what it's like to be white. I have no idea what it's like to be white. All I know is there's something in their brain that causes them to like explode when it comes to dealing with the concept of race. What kills me, I guess why another reason why I'm emotional about it is how all of us non-white citizen visitors, citizens of the province of Quebec, born there, all of us could have been are actually your best allies when it comes to the rest of Canada. We understand your struggle. We understand what it's like. That's exactly. We understand what it's like to be a fucking minority just like you are in this country. We know what it's like to be bullied, to be put in a situation where you're trying to. We know what it's like to want to preserve your culture. We all know all that shit. But these people, instead of respecting us, of seeing how, oh wow, we have natural allies. No, they choose to oppress us the same way the English oppress them. Like, because that's what kills me. They're more loyal to their whiteness than they are to their cultures as French Canadians. Like, that's one of the reasons that bothered me about the convoy. It's like a lot of these folks from Quebec showed up join the the convoy, the against Justin Trudeau, whatever, against the mandates, and they bonded with motherfuckers with American flags, because they said, hey, we are bonded by our whiteness, by our need, by white supremacy. That's what makes me so angry, because I grew up sympathizing with the struggles of French Canadians. Their struggle was my struggle. I my teachers kept warning me, hey, practice your French or you'll lose it. They were fucking right. I didn't get it. Like they want to, the legacy of their ancestors, they want it to be remembered. But instead of recruiting us in their struggle, they're like, okay, you can be one of us, but we kind of need you to, like, take that hijab off. We kind of need you to, like, you know, could you do us a favor? Worship our Jesus. If you're not going to worship Jesus, then be an atheist. You know, fit in or fuck off. Like, that. It just so angers me that, that's the problem. Forcing this lady to, like, hey, remember that criticism you made of Bill 21? Yeah, we want you to, like, apologize for it. They're off to a bad fucking start. And it's shit like this that makes it, yeah. These guys are, like, are hopeless in this shit. They're, like, you know what my theory is? My theory is white supremacy is so fucked up that the more, so it goes from which white people to poor white people, and poor white people are like, and then you have the minority group white people, you know, like the Irish, the French Canadians, whatever. Like, to them, they're so angry. They're so angry that they're unable to recognize who is the real enemy and who are your real allies. Like, they'll get shitted on by the English or other richer white people. They'll get shitted on by them. And instead of bucking back at these people, they'll turn around and say, we need you niggers to fall in line. You can join our army, but on a besoin que tu montes tes culottes. I don't know, whatever. Sorry. Okay. Woo! Yeah, this should have been my personal thought, but I knew I was going to talk a little bit about it, but yeah, I'm emotional, man. Shit gets me emotional. So it's so emotional that I didn't read the rest of the article. I'm so emotional that instead of consulting a Canadian publication for this article, I'm reading the one from the BBC. I'll tell you what, I'll put a link to the conversation they had on Canadaland, because it was, it's that conversation that made me be, oh, let me hear what's going on in the province of Quebec. Because initially, I like hearing about Quebec being upset at something, especially when it involves racism. But yeah, man, this is just me speaking my mind. I would love to join the struggle of French Canadians, but you guys keep putting us in situation where we got to choose between our black side and your side. I don't know. The story just feels hopeless, man. Yeah. All right. Okay. Speaking of hopelessness. All right. So this ends the random section of the podcast. Now let's jump into more personal thoughts. Okay. Here we go. All right. Personal thoughts. I forgot to say. Okay. Two personal thoughts. I'm just going to end is one is I'm going to talk about one of my tweets getting some response. Some responses, only because it's making me think about my ongoing revolution about the definition of masculinity. And the last part is a podcast I listened to, two podcasts that I listened to these past few days, and it has me thinking about this dude called Emmanuel Ocho, A-C-H-O. Anyway, okay, So first one of my tweets got, I should have probably started with that. Yeah, one of my tweets is getting traction. And where are we at now? I'm not used to getting so many responses on a tweet, but I'm at, oh, wow. Holy shit, I feel like a star. Okay, 19,000, 19,000, great, 19.3K views and it's at 679 likes. I wonder how many of the, oh, and 28 retweets. Look at me. It's not, I'm not measuring my dick size, feeling like a success story, but it's, I'm not used to getting so much attention you know what's funny? Yeah, what I learned is it's never the tweet you think that's going to get. It's never the content you believe you want to get attention. It's always the one that you just spit it out, and next thing you know, you're getting notification for them. All right, okay, get to the fucking topic. So in response to this video, which I'll play right now, it says, I think it was dope, and it goes, it was initially posted by Casual Slaughter. Oh my God. Peepafism. And her caption went, 8-day ass up. LOL. Okay, here we go. I'll play
far less, far less, far less.
Maybe I should explain who's in, I guess it's on the set of Fresh and Fit. If you don't know who Fresh and Fit is, consider yourself lucky, a lucky human being, but, Manosphere motherfuckers, you know, dudes who like, I mean, should I watch my language? Whatever, man, it's like the people incel folks look up to. Anyway, so this is on the set of a Fresh and Fit set, one of their videos, and there's this one dude in blue who's like responding to these gentlemen the way I wish I could. And here we go.
Far less conditions than women love men.
That sounds like the opposite of love to me. Well, if you love under far less conditions, that sounds like desperation.
If you take a majority of men versus a majority of women, a majority of men would like a majority of women. However, a majority of women definitely don't like a majority of men.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I think women love more. Because when they pick somebody, they're selective about it. They put more time and energy into it. Whereas for a guy, the woman is a lot more replaceable. That's why even Sneak over here was like, oh, you know, you might step out and f*** another bitch or whatever. And it's like, okay, well, how much do you actually love your woman? Are you willing to do something like that? Like,
that has nothing to do with how much you love the person.
It absolutely does.
Why?
Because it requires you to step out of your own selfish frame of reference to see how your partner feels about something. You only prioritize the things that you want in life. That says something about how you view love of another person.
It's not really prioritizing, it's just doing what you want to do.
Yeah, that's called being selfish. It's usually what you do when you don't love somebody.
Yeah, okay, I guess you recognize that sound. Yes, it is a TikTok clip on Twitter. And a homeboy in blue. Okay, you can't see this clip, but you know it's in the show notes, right? So there's a dude with blue hair wearing a blue t-shirt, and he's the one responding, you know, dropping science on these boys. And I responded because I'm looking at this clip, and it just reminded me of how you will stay broke if you surround yourself with broke folks. You will stay bitter if you stick around with bitter people. You will stay ignorant if you surround yourself with motherfuckers who don't challenge you. And my comment was, I'm reflecting on this because in the background is Fresh and Fit and this dude called, I may have talked about it, I think his name is Nico, some shit like that. They call him, that his nickname is Taco Tate. Apparently he's like a big follower of Andrew Tate. They're the ones saying the bullshit about, yo, man, these bitches ain't shit, you know. They'll tell you, that's not what they said. But and then the guy responding, dropping science's name is, did I mention this already? I'm not high, but I keep forgetting. His name is Destiny. he's the guy I wish I could have been able to, like, articulate like he did. Anyways, my response was, it's easy to be a toxic man when you surround yourself with other toxic men, or toxic males. Homie in blue caught these kids off guard. Now, I didn't know what was going on. I'm surprised they had him on the show. I guess he must have volunteered to say, hey, can I have a debate on your show? And they're like, fuck it. This is content for us. Win or lose, this is great content for us. Yeah, and the homie dropped the science on it. Like, I want to be careful about, okay. What I was saying is, the thoughts where I was going with all this is, one, I a part of me wishes I could do what he did. What he did, but I'm realizing, yeah, no, that's not my alley, man. Debating is not my thing. I would, if I would go on the Fresh and Fit show, I would just look, yo, these guys would, I'd be food for these guys. it'd be the equivalent of me being a Christian. I'm not a Christian, but I'm saying if I was Christian going on a show defending Even if I was a diehard Christian and I went on some show with some Muslims or Scientologists, even Scientologists, and it was a debate on whose God is the realest, I would fail in that. Like, that's not my alley. I don't do confrontation very well. What I am into, what my lane is, and what I love about this video is it reminded me of what I'm trying to do is I'm more about understanding the cause. Okay? The cause, the source, the reason why. Like, instead of debating whose God is realest, I want to understand the need for having a God. That's my thing. So, I respect what Destiny does. You know, there ain't no buts to it. I said I wish I could do what he does. But I want to back up and understand how the fuck are we at here? Why is it that we have some men who are like, bitches ain't shit, and then we have to have the Destinies of the world to remind you and say, hey, what you just said is problematic. Why are we men willing to go at war when it comes to how we should respect, how we should treat the opposite sex? Because I think this is pretty much what it comes down to. Why some of us feel the need to be shitty to them, and some of us feel the need to be like, let's not do that. You know what I mean? Let's treat them like they were our sisters. Let's treat them like fellow human beings. Now, I say this. I'm not trying to preach. I want to be careful because I'm not preaching because I know what it's like to be a toxic man, to be a toxic male. I was fucked for a good portion of my life. I'm not sure at what point did I start checking myself. It was likely in my 40s, or it was probably likely after a last failed relationship where I started reevaluating everything about myself, about relationship, my understanding of women, my understanding of what it means to be a man. And I don't want to compare myself to Malcolm X in jail, but I remember like feeling the need to check myself because I was wrecking myself. And I know what it's like to be a toxic male, not what it's like to be, but to need to be a toxic man. I mentioned this in the past episode. I'm reading this new book called let me make sure I get the title proper. The Highly Sensitive Man. And right now I'm at the chapter where he's just talking about how the definition of masculinity is under revision right now. And how, you know, and how some of us highly sensitive men need to step up and be like, hey, I'm a man too. But I don't conform to your fucking definition of masculinity. Like, we need more of that out there so people, the world can see that, hey, being a man is not what Hollywood tells you to be. It's not what Dre in the Chronic album says you should be. I gotta be careful because Dre wasn't preaching about masculinity. He was just making entertaining music about toxic masculinity. Anyway, yeah, I'm saying the definition of masculinity is up for debate. No. It's under revision. At the moment, a lot of us are running with this old, archaic, ancient, toxic definition of masculine. Like, in order to be a man, you need to be beating that pussy up. You need to be making your money. You need to be about your business. MOB, money over bitches. You got to have your boys back. You got to have the same code of conduct as the police have. If I'm beating my bitch, you better mind your own goddamn business. I used to look at it as there's like a silent civil war amongst men about between men who respect women and men who respect women just enough to get what they want from them. Yeah, anyway, I guess that's why I'm grateful for this clip. It just had me reevaluating my stance and what I want my life to be about these days. I want to put that toxic male behind me, be a better male, be a better person, be a better human being, and if possible, help others who are like in the same position as me. It's like, yo, I'm just trying to be a better person. Give me options. I can be one of those people who can suggest that options. No, I'm not going to sell you on religion. It's just like, hey, everything we were taught before, throw that shit in the garbage. I'm working on a better definition here. No, I'm not trying to create a new religion. I'm just trying to overall just be a better person. That's really what the objective is. So, all right. Okay. Okay. Last bit of news is this is kind of interesting. Okay. What are we? An hour. Okay. I'll get to you. Shout out to, what's her name? Shout out to this, who had me thinking, one of this content creator on the internet. Her name is, I gotta go through my likes. No, I'm gonna go through my, I gotta go through my retweets. I'm trying to remember a person's name, but in order to remember it, I have to go through my tweets. Her name, okay, on Twitter is Denisha Carter. Denisha Carter, if you're familiar with her content, trust me, if you're a fan, it's, oh my God. Anyways, makes great content on the internet. And if you're like a fuckboy, yeah, you're not going to like her. Anyways, yeah, so,
Hey everyone, I'm Denisha Carter, and this is my cover of Can't Help Falling in Love.
There we go. Oh, this is nice. Okay, that was her voice. Ooh, oh my God. Yes, I didn't realize how nice her voice was. Anyways, yeah, so she posted something today, just a thought. She said, hey, I made a 10-minute TikTok, and she said, it made me laugh. She says, I made a 10-minute TikTok, and I love, she used the expression, I'm allergic to not shutting up. I know, I just felt, I think it, in a way, kind of went with the theme of this podcast. Which is a longer, you know, listen to the manifesto, the first episode of this podcast to get a better understanding of the concept of Shut Up Podcast. But yeah, she said, yeah, she made a, I guess she was disappointed with herself that she made a 10-minute video on TikTok, or she was expecting self-criticism. And it's funny is how I read that and my first thought was, well, at least you're articulate. I guess I wouldn't. So for me is where I'm going with this is I get annoyed that I go over my time limit with my podcast. Okay, I tell you what. Yeah. Okay. All right. Instead of complaining, I'm going to do something about this. All right. So what I was about to say is I get angry when I go at myself, when I go over an hour. The thing is, I don't even like my own podcast. You know, those videos of people playing, people of English as their second language, and the video is of them recording a voicemail and they're speaking proper English. Well, they're speaking well, understandably. And when they play it back, they hear themselves speaking like broken English in their fucking up English and making it very evident that English is their second language. So when I play back my podcast, all I hear do like I don't hear. I'm very highly critical of myself. My objective with these podcasts is to reach a point where I like my own podcast. It makes a little sense for me to promote podcasts to the rest of the world and try to be that guy, like, you know, like, I hope you guys like it and rely on the positive opinion of other people to like my own podcast. So, yeah. So, I guess I'm realizing by her tweet and my response that, yeah, I guess my feeling is I don't feel like I am articulate. And how would I know? How would I know? I guess it would come down to whether someone hears what I say. Like, I'm not fishing for compliments, but I am kind of hoping that someone hears what I say and, okay, this is what you're talking about. Can reiterate, okay, this is what you said, whether you agree with it or not, but you, the image I painted in my head, the image that I have in my mind, and the message I use to transmit that image, well, it would be nice to know that that image ended up in your mind too. Communication is not easy. But communication is even harder when you don't even believe that you're a good communicator or you have the adequate skills or you have the adequate level to call yourself a good communicator or an adequate communicator or a mediocre communicator. All right. With that said, instead of creating an episode that I'm going to hate. I'm going to stop here. I'm not going to talk about my next item because I feel like, in a way, speaking about my last tweet and speaking about the Quebec notion kind of touches on what I was going to talk about. Essentially is, I won't tell you, but it made me think that I'm going to leave with this question. I'm wondering whether a segment in my podcast is to tell you about all the podcasts that I listened to and that may have contributed to this episode. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at that. So I'm going to leave it as this concludes. So then I'm less angry that I only went 9 minutes over. So this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Oh my God, I forgot midpoint. Okay, holy shit. Okay, hold on a second. Let me give myself a little. Episode 50, boys and girls. Episode 50, that's not something to like, not bad for a guy who had vowed to never podcast ever again. And yeah, episode 50, titled, What the West and the East Have in Common. Yeah, shout out to myself. To holler at me, name is B Blizzak, or you can, on Twitter, it's B Blizzak, or find me at B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. You can find the show notes on the website. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. To subscribe to the website, use the RSS feed. To subscribe to this podcast, use the RSS feed on the website or find us on Apple or Google Podcasts. Yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Word.